So welcome everybody, and because of the series of teachings by His Holiness Thich Nhat Hanh Mapa, which is happening now, so therefore we thought we should not disturb that schedule when people want to attend the teachings of His Holiness. So therefore, we made the slight change in the time of this question answer. And so therefore, we made it earlier. So I have received four written questions. So first I will go through them quickly, and then if there are other questions, we will come to that. The first question is from Astrid Moriels. The question is there a possibility of progression if one has a mental illness? I don't know. I think it depends on how serious the mental illness is. And also, the kind of type of mental illness and things like that. So I don't really can say exactly, and I think it might differ from person to person and situation to situation. I think how we progress, or how we accumulate positive or negative habitual tendencies and things like that, not always depend on our intellectual understanding. I think it also depends a lot how we react and how, so probably if, it is, I think, possible to, it's also at the emotional level, mostly. So therefore, at a certain level, maybe there is a possibility to become better, but I don't know. Next question is from Marlo. Here she has a little bit long, beautiful how Rinpoche describes how we can find peace, calmness, and clarity in solitude, for instance, in nature, when we overcome attachment and aversion. Conclusion must be Rinpoche has been there and or is always there. I wish him and all students, such beings, that peace and freedom with Losar metalloxia. It's a long way to transform from ignorance, disturbing emotions and judgments, to complete acceptance and surrender. Question is, does the Buddha say or believe that all sentient beings, human beings, can reach that complete serenity in solitude, survive in nature, like the yogis of Tibet were able to? We're all so different. Some are more courageous than others, more strong, more skillful to survive. No. First of all, I must say that I don't have any of those, complete peace and calmness and clarity, anything like that. But I think there is a possibility to find that, to experience that. This is what Buddha says, that anybody, not just human beings, but anybody has that possibility if one practices. He never says it's very easy. So, for most of us, it is not easy because we are so much habituated or so much used to be in this kind of what you can say stressed and very busy and lots of negative emotions and distractions and things like that. But then, there is, I think, a possibility, and we should all try and work on it. I think it is not that, if we already decide that, no, I cannot do it, it's not possible for me, then, of course it is not possible. But if we, if you say that, why not? Why not for me? If anybody can do it, why not me also? And so I will work on it, I will practice it, I will do it. And then I think it might happen. A little bit, little by little, it's not necessary that we will become completely good at it very quickly, but I think it is possible to, because that is something that our true nature in a way. Then next question, the third question is from Maggie Jones. Samaya, what is it? How is a connection formed? The many wonderful teachings available online at present. A few also include the law and initiation and empowerment. Will these automatically confer a Samaya connection with the teacher? Do any of these automatically demand a commitment? How strong is this when it comes online? Should one discriminate? And if so, what are the criteria for selection? Samaya is the same as any, ordination, when we take an ordination, whether it's a Vinaya ordination, like five precepts or refuge or anything like that, it is never imposed. Nobody can give us ordination or Samaya. We can only take it. It is the one who takes it has the complete and major role. If one does not take it, one never can have it. I have to make the commitment. I have to take the samaya. Only then I get it. So it's totally up to the person whether you want to take the samaya or not. Not, it doesn't have anything to do with the giver. That's the first thing. But samaya is, you know, is mainly, you know, like, say, like, if I say, I would like to take the 5 precepts, and then I ask somebody that I want to take these 5 precepts, and then the teacher or the person says, okay, you take the 5 precepts, these are the 5 precepts. So, you know, you really want to take that? And he says, yes, I want to take that. Then I say, okay, now you recite this and say, you want to take this, and then you take it. And then we say it, and then we take it. And then he says, now you have taken the 5%. So I take it. Now I practice the 5%. So, you know, it's me about the 5%. So, because I know that these 5%, if I do that, if I abide by that, it will be good for me, and therefore I take it. Same is the samaya, exactly same way, you know. So therefore, you know, it's totally up to me to take the samaya. Nobody can impose the samaya on you. So if you listen to a teaching or whatever in even empowerment or you know, on the Zoom, it doesn't mean that you take the samaya. Mm-hmm. Only if you want to take the samaya, then you take the samaya. But I already told Maggie to try to read the 14 downfalls of Vajrayana, and then you know what samaya is. Because it's just, you know, a way of practicing the Vajrayana. It's not actually making a connection with the person. It's about, you know, a way of practicing it. Then, next question is from Henry. And Henry Becker. So he has sent a kind of a haiku. loving what is, loving to change, what is more important? I don't know if I understand the question. Loving what is, loving to change, what is more important? Loving what is, I think is quite good, you know. Whatever way, however things are, you kind of, you're okay with it, you are happy with it, you know, if you have that, loving what is, then I think you will have lots of peace of mind and calmness, and maybe slowly attain clarity. And if you love what is, then maybe you have no problem changing it also. So then you will naturally have loving to change, because whatever changes, it will be what it is. So therefore, there is no problem. So it comes to the same thing, maybe. But I don't know. So that's probably the question. So I think that's it so far. And any other questions, live questions?
Oh, we have a question from Roland. Yeah.
Sure. Hello, Roland.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Rinpoche. And how are you?
Well, okay, yes.
I'm in Wales, in Cardiff. I've met you a few times in Palpong, Wales, with Lama Rabsa.
Yes, yes.
And he's very well, and they're all well there, I'm sure.
Thank you, that's great.
My question is, I've had the good fortune of being interested in Buddhism since, well, my dad had a statue of Buddha, and I had, in 1987, had the good opportunity to end up in Kala Rinpoche's centre in France.
Okay.
In 1987. And I spent a few days there, and it was I felt very blessed walking around the stupa and doing a few pujas. But then years later, after a breakdown, I got involved in an organization which I since left in about, you know, just before about year 2000. And then I met Lama Rabsan shortly afterwards. And my question is really, when I've just been listening to your chapter 5, the first stanza, and you talk about having a teacher or having many teachers, the teacher I really rely on is ultimately myself, where I have to protect my mind. But at the same time, I've met lots of great teachers. And is it important to really narrow down who you really connect with, or can you still have a number of teachers as your guide? Do you have to have a kind of one specific teacher, or can you have several teachers? But ultimately, I'm relying on my own wisdom at the moment. And what point do you have that real connection? And what point do you then sort of like really follow word to word what the teacher says? It's a bit vague, but I'm quite distant because I left one organization. I feel I've got some hesitation in terms of really connecting with other teachers, to have complete trust in another teacher.
I think your own wisdom, you can say, is the, you know, main teacher, because even when you trust, or when you decide to trust one particular teacher, it's your own wisdom which makes the decision. So that's, that's your most important decision maker is yourself. And therefore, the thing is this, we want to learn, how to progress, how to transform ourselves. And therefore, we want to learn the experiences of the Buddha and the great bodhisattvas, the great masters of the past. And that is, that's in the books, of course, so the books are also teachers, very good, very important teachers, many great masters said very clearly, like even Buddha said, I don't appoint anyone as my agent, as my, as my representative in the future. The Sangha is my representative, and my teachings are there, and that is, you know, that is what you decide, trust, and you learn from my teachings. So my teachings is your guide, you know. And this is said by, you know, like Gampopa also. He said very clearly that in future, if somebody hears about me and think that, you know, they are not fortunate enough because they were not born during that time. So, you know, but they don't need to be feel bad about this, because I have written some books like Jewel Ornament of Liberation and things like that. You read them and it's the same like meeting me. So, you know, so this is how it is. And so the living teachers is important, because, you know, we can discuss with them, and, you know, not only the theories that you understand, but also if it's a good teacher, then, you know, it's the way, you know, the whole personality, the way the teacher not only gives the instructions, but also lives life from there. So therefore, the main thing is about your learning, not about the teacher. Not, you know. So therefore, you know, if you learn from one teacher very well, that's very good. If you learn from two teachers, that's also very good. If you have more teachers, you can trust and you can learn from many teachers. It is not necessary that, you know, if you, it's not like monogamy, you know. You know, it's not like marriage that you have one husband and one wife, and then, you know, it's not like that. Teacher, you have to learn from anybody and as many as possible. You know, it's not that, you know, and also, you know, it's not that, you know, if you are receiving teaching from one teacher, you cannot receive teacher from another. Otherwise, the teacher will get upset. If your teacher gets upset because you are learning from another teacher also, that shows that he's not a teacher, good teacher. I feel it like that, you know. I've heard that some teachers have been telling people that if you want to be my student, you cannot learn from anybody else.
Yeah.
And if it was me, I would immediately leave, because, you know, that doesn't sound like a teacher. Buddha never said that if you learn from me, you cannot learn from anybody else, you know. So therefore, I think you can teach one, because Atish Deepankara had over 50 teachers. Guru Padma Sambhava had lots of teachers. You know, Jamgon Kondro has more than 50 teachers and 4 root teachers. And, you know, you mentioned almost anybody, a great master, especially from the Tibetan tradition. Most of them have lots of teachers. So I think there's no problem learning from. And yes, the groups, it's another matter. You know, groups are made of lots of people. So, you know, there's always problem in the groups, because it's made of many people, and many people have many problems. So therefore, there's nothing to do with the Dharma. You know, that's a human problem. You know, any human society has its own samsaric problems, and that's another matter. And you need to know how to separate that from the Dharma teachings. You know, the Dharma teaching is Dharma teaching. And then the groups, you know, politics is groups politics. And, you know, human kind of problems. So therefore, any group will have those kind of problems that you can almost never find a group which is perfect. There will always, you know, some things, but that's okay. That's the way we human beings are. So, you know, How can you find, how can there be, the Buddhist group cannot be more perfect and but then other than any other group, because it's a humans group, yeah? So I think this is very important, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And I'd like to thank Lama Rabsan for allowing great teachers come to his center. I think it's due to his hard work and the people who work there who have been really kind to allow yourselves and many great teachers to come. And I hope we can see you again soon, Wales. And thank you for your answer. That's really helpful. It's made me think I'm okay. Thank you very much. Hope
thank you.
See you again soon. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Questions lined up for you, Rinpoche.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. All the best to everybody. Thank you.